Hello everybody, this is Clint Locklear with a rant of a free trapper. Got back from the Southern NTA. I can honestly say that was one of the most fun conventions that I've been to in a while. Not so much that we did the round table, which was very enjoyable, but the spirit was different. And I can make jokes about it being Southern or whatever, more hospitality. The guys that ran the Southern NTA, the volunteers, dude, y'all rocked it. I mean, yeah, that was the smoothest running. When we were setting up for the round table, several times guys are coming over to anything. You want to check the room. Is this good? You need PA system. I mean, it was spot on. Those guys need to run for Congress. Just saying. I want to do the rant today, and it's something that I was going to do before I did the advertising when it went on the Craigslist on the Burbzilla. And I've changed it a little bit. I just got done listening to, I mean, I've got a habit. Every Monday night when Meat Trapper comes on, I will, because I'm home with Cindy. Like, you know, most of y'all know, I don't pick up the phone before 8. I take lunch every day with my wife, and I turn the phone off, unless you're my dad or brother or something, after 5. So I try not to do things at night that takes me away from my wife, because I've abused that too much in the past, and I'm trying to, you know, just be a better person about it. So I don't listen to Meat Trapper when it comes on, and then I will download that, and when I'm doing lure and stuff like that, that's always like one of my fun times to get my mind off of just doing something monotonous, you know, in the lure shed or anything like that. So I always look forward to it. Now, something cracked me up today about listening to Tim when he was talking about the Revolutionary War, which I agree, he was spot on. And it really matched what I wanted to talk about anyway, which is perspective and context. You know, and I'm talking about in reality, not in fantasy world, but in reality. And it's something that I don't think that it happens very much today. And it's really sad because it allows people to be manipulated very easily. It allows people to make decisions that's probably not in their best interest. And it really just clicked off because, well, first off, on his show, he started with Molly Hatchet flirting with disaster. Now, one of my first real lessons in life, I believe, when it comes to perspective, was from Molly Hatchet flirting with disaster. Now, I've always been, I guess you could say, talented. My mother was a professional artist. My grandmother was an ink and pen artist for years, and drawing stuff and painting stuff like that. It's been easy for me. It's not like I had to learn it like my mother did. So it was pretty easy to me, and I never would take art class when I was in school because it was boring, but I was always the kid that really made the art teacher mad because like 40 minutes before I had to turn in something for like the county fair or the school art show or whatever, I'd do it on a piece of typing paper and win, and it would, you know, it really get everybody upset. Well, one year, I took it kind of serious, and it was for the county fair in Meigs County. And I went, you know, Meigs County High School was a very rural school, you know, very country. And I actually spent 3 or 4 days in the evenings working on this picture. And what it was, which now I know would just be plagiarism, but it was in charcoal instead of paint, but it was the album cover, if you've never seen it, look it up, from Molly Hatchet, Flirting with Disaster. And Frezetta, which is an artist that did all of the album covers for Molly Hatchet, for, you know, ninth grader, is just awesome. I mean, it's like the ultimate, you know, thing for a kid at that age that's a male to look at. I mean, you got horses and axes, and the guy's going down like he's jumped in the middle of the pit with all the guys trying to kill him, and he's slaying them. And I mean, it's rough, but it's almost like medieval, but kind of sci-fi at the same time. Just really cool stuff. Azetta did some, I mean, he was an amazing artist. Anyway, perspective that I learned is what is acceptable and what is art. Now, I think I did this. I'm not sure if it was in the 8th or 9th grade. I really don't remember. But it was one of those two. And I had this. It was probably a foot and a half by foot and a half. I wish I had it still today. And I put it into to be judged at the county fair with all the schools and all that type stuff. So I get there. And I look at where I placed, and I was third place. And when I looked at what was first and second place, I was kind of shocked. Because it was kind of like, you know, someone that could take a picture of a 1957 Corvette with, you know, with the chrome and the high gloss paint, and you look like you're looking into a photograph. And it's that type of technical type painting. And then someone wins a contest because they paint a board white and put a black square in the middle of it. We've all seen art, or supposedly art, like that. It was kind of like that. The other drawings were very crude, not very well presented. You know, it was just really, really basic. And I was just dumbfounded. And I remember walking up to the judges and I go, I just don't understand. And these were art teachers in a rural area. They were, you know, older. And they went, well, technically your art is better, but we just don't think that's what we should be promoting people to do is violence like that. So we just couldn't give you first or second place. And there again, I was dumbfounded again. And to be honest with you, I was kind of upset, but more dumbfounded than anything else. See, the perspective they had as an 8th or 9th grader, whatever I was, shouldn't be doing artwork that has violence and axes and horses and armor and all that type stuff. It should be, in the country, it should be barns and horses. You know, stuff like that. Their perspective on what art was very different from my perspective. Now, what is the correct perspective there? It was an art contest. To me, it was should have been off technical, whatever. Now, if it was, you know, if I would have, you know, tried to reproduce a 1970 swinger orgy, I could understand, yeah, we can't show that. But it wasn't like that. But in their mind, their perspective, it was. That was the first time that seeing that in my own life at that time, being young like that, because you don't think about stuff like that. It really, really floored me. Now, when I was listening to Tim talk about the Revolutionary War, the perspective that we have, it is, there's facts, and then there's perspective, and then there's propaganda, then you have all this other stuff that you have to take in mind. Most people, I guarantee you, didn't know that the elite of the time made money on the soldiers with their IOU slips the way that Tim explained it today. I guarantee you most people do not know that, because that goes against the perspective and the context when we think about the Founding Fathers. You know, the correct context and perspective, I think, of that is you don't trust politicians. They will screw you every time. We shouldn't be putting politicians on pedestals the way that we do, no matter who's in charge, because they will screw you every time. Maybe not on one thing, but they'll get it on another. You know, and I'm pretty sure when someone listened to Tim talk about how our founding fathers became wealthy off the backs of soldiers because they were in such desperate need, that was probably hard to take, because that's not the way we think about it. We also don't think about what, when he mentioned the perspective about the war not being won by people like George Washington, because it wasn't, guys. You know, that's to me, when the last statues came down in South Carolina, the first ones did, the first thing I looked over at Cindy said, I'm like, these people are crazy. Do they not realize who started the Revolutionary War, the real one? It was South Carolina. Do they not realize who started the Civil War? It was South Carolina. And now they're down there poking them in the chest again. How stupid is that? See, my perspective of history is a lot different than someone that doesn't have a perspective of history. It was just, to me, it was just very, very interesting. And it's always one of those, and I guarantee you, if you've ever watched a Civil War or a Revolutionary War movie, and you see those guys line up 50 yards apart, six deep, sometimes the first, the line will kneel, and they stand there like they're on a shooting range with each other, and they just start firing, and there's just big walls of men being wasted for no reason. How is that even possible? I mean, I used to look at those movies and just, who in their right mind would do that? Now, see, our perspective today, especially if you know anything about history, what was going on in South Carolina was absolutely, just like Tim said, was destroying the British Army. But it wasn't lining up on a field. It wasn't playing the game the British wanted you to play. It wasn't playing to their strengths. It's the same reason we could have stayed in Vietnam for another 50 years and that would have never been over. It's the same reason we can stay in Afghanistan for another 50 years and that's never going to be over. Because the context of those people over there is we're not going to play to the strengths of someone that has more power to us. We're going to do more of a guerrilla type warfare. Now, Americans are still into, for the most part, into the context of, well, you know, during World War II and World War I, you know, we had mass amounts of troops, we had lines, we kept territory, we did this, we did that. That's still the way, guys, that the Army's trained today. Which is weird to me, because anybody that goes through, especially any type of officer training candidate, would know all the history of the Revolutionary War and the Gray Fox in South Carolina and how those tactics work against an overwhelming force and all that type of stuff. So but when you get out in the field, just like he said, the reason that it lasted as long as it did and there was much as blood as there was is because the people in charge had a different context than the people that were following. Which brings me back to the first point I made. If you want to have a better country, you train your children. From the time they can put two sentences together, you never trust a politician and you don't trust the government because it's full of politicians. They are not from any type of higher education that matters in the real world. They are not elite except in we allow them to be. Now see, if everybody started really talking that way, it'd be crazy. So now let's take it to the other end of a perspective. And trust me, this will make more sense in a minute. I'm just kind of rambling right now because I still got Tim's podcast bouncing around in my head. When you look at the left today, and it's always against the power structure, you know, screw the man. I ain't going to do what the man says, you know, and they're talking about anybody in charge. It's like, They always want to be against who's in charge. That's the way that they look at everything. But see, when you step back and you start putting stuff in perspective and you start having a context around things, you see that how this almost schizophrenic that is. Because what's the first thing a liberal does on any issue is they go to who's in charge. Doesn't that seem very weird? I mean, it is. It's schizophrenic. They're against every corporation. They're against, you know, the government. They're against the Constitution. They're against the principles of America. They're everything like that. But whenever they want to, they run to a judge somewhere to get something overturned. They run to power. They run to a congressman or a senator. They run to a lawyer. They run to people with power at the same time they're trying to disassemble power and start revolution and anarchy. So you start seeing things differently when you see things through the eyes of seeing a real world perspective on things. And it'll take you to weird places that you may feel uncomfortable with. Just like a lot of Americans at the time died in the Revolutionary War because they followed the elite, just like Tim said, and they didn't follow the founding farmers, which I love that phrase, Tim. That is awesome. Because to me, it goes back to the old Chinese proverb. Better to be a warrior that farms than a farmer that's got to go to war. Kind of the same principle, because they're, you know, in the world, it's just, that's the way it is, no matter what we all think. But they were winning when the regular people was in charge, and it got all wompity-skew when the elite got in charge. But as normal through history, the elite get all the credit, and the founding farmers don't. See, perspective will take you weird things. Perspective, when I watched the Vietnam documentary, Vietnam War, my perspective really changed on a lot of things from hearing from the voices of the presidents and seeing the documents and all of that type of stuff. It really changes when you open your mind and you start trying to see things in a proper context and perspective. Now, I want to go over a few. Like, to me, I'm looking at the window of my house right now, and there is an American flag, red, white, and blue, blowing in the wind. When you go over to the shop, there's another American flag, red, white, and blue, blowing in the wind. Now, I could put a Don't Tread on Me flag underneath that, because I like the Don't Tread on the Gaston flag. I think it's awesome. But see, my perspective and true context of what that flag is, I don't have to have a Don't Tread on Me flag underneath it. I know what that flag stands for. Now see, this is where not having context and not having a proper perspective about things, because people just listen to what they're told, we're probably going to have a different view on what that flag is. Now I want you to go ahead and just think to yourself, go and stop this and think for yourself, write it down, do whatever you need to do. What does the American flag mean? I'm pretty sure I know what a lot of you are going to answer. See, to me, the American flag, when I put it in true, proper, historical context and perspective, it's the lack of government. That's what those founding farmers went to war for. The lack of government. That's a totally different perspective of why I fly the American flag. Do I fly it because I like high taxes, crazy regulations, all the other things that goes on today with politics? Do I fly that flag for that? Nope. I fly it because I understand the context of what that flag means. It's the lack of government. See, it used to be, it stood for freedom. Personal, individual, voluntarism, freedom. Now, it stands for the American power structure of the government. Same flag. Looking at it from the perspective of what it was actually brought into the universe for, it's the lack of government. Just an interesting thing to think about when you're looking at things around you, or you automatically assume different things. Now, I was listening to, I was coming back and there was something on talk radio from the farm. I was down there planting Siberian pea shrubs. And I was coming back and they're just going on and on about all the same old crap on talk radio. And I've got a fuse or something going out in the Jeep. So sometimes I've got to click over to a different channel just to get the XM to work right, then I can jump back. And it landed on regular Fox News. And it was on the 5. Now see, now I want to get into the meat of the subject of what is context and perspective in the real world, and why we're so wompity-skew when it comes to this in our everyday life. Apparently, it is now, and there was several articles written on this. If you dress up as the first lady, the one we have now that happens to be from Europe, and she's white, in case you didn't know that. If you have your kid dress up as her, it is racist. And what these other articles were saying is if the parent puts their kid in this Halloween costume, that's the same as the parents wearing it, and they're racist. And the five doing what the five does, if you've ever saw it or listened to it, they kind of poke fun of a lot of stuff like that, because that's absolutely... Someone's got their head so far up the butt they can't even see sunshine if they open their mouth. I mean, that's bad. I mean, just stupid. It is. Now, they were kind of making fun of that, how stupid it was. And then the guy on there that's a Democrat, that as far as I'm concerned, just happens to be black, he loses perspective and takes a conversation somewhere else. He then goes, well, I don't see that being that ridiculous. What if a parent put a child in one of the little Sambo costumes? And I know you've seen this, you may not know what it is. You see them, you used to see them a lot more, and they would be like yard gnomes, and people would have paintings of them. And they were like really black little kids with big white eyes and a little afro. And they were decoration for some reason, I don't even know when in our history. But, you know, it looks like a little buckwheat if you've ever watched the Rascals. And he took from dressing your kid up to looking like the First Lady to dressing your kid up to being like Sambo. See, where in the world is there any perspective or context for him to make that jump? There isn't any. There isn't any. And what frustrates me more is the other people on the five just didn't look at him and go, dude, that was the stupidest thing you could have said. It's very dishonest in the conversation. And if you're not going to be an honest person about what we're talking about, get the hell out of here. That's what needs to happen in America. That's what needs to happen on these shows, where the Democrats a lot of times are being very dishonest. Now, a lot of times Republicans are being dishonest, and they should get the same thing. I think it would be interesting if the people that are being interviewed actually calls the people that are interviewing them, no matter if it's Fox or CNN, yeah, this conversation's over because you're being a dishonest person. I'm not wasting my time with a dishonest person. I think that would be very useful. But to jump from the First Lady to Black Sambo, no context whatsoever. If you haven't heard about this, there's a big thing if you're on Twitter, which I'm not. If you're on Twitter, look at the hashtag MeToo. That started as a way for feminists to beat up on males one more time. And the basic principle is we live in a rape culture. All men are bad, especially if they're white. And the pretense was, if you've ever been sexually assaulted, now I want you to keep that word in mind, assaulted, tell the story and hashtag it Me Too. This is where we have no longer have any type of perspective or context in America. Because in the Me Too hashtag campaign, they consider, without perspective, that if you're a blonde, gorgeous, Swedish girl that happens to be walking home from work, and 12 Muslim men drag you into an alley and rape you and beat you and leave you to die or to live because they really don't care, that's the same thing without perspective to the Me Too hashtag campaign as a guy telling a woman, you look nice today. Because obviously, that's sexual harassment and that's sexual assault. See, there's no perspective or context anymore. You can look at some of the hashtags on there. It is crazy that people have lost so much perspective in life that they think a woman being gang raped against her will is the same as a guy looking at a girl's boobs because she's got her cleavage hanging out to the floor. No perspective, no context. The same thing you hear today is we're a racist country because somebody 3 years ago called me the N-word. So we're still a racist country. That is the equivalent in America today, because we have no context of anything, of slavery. Are you freaking kidding me? Really? Somebody says something to a black person is the same as slavery. See, Oprah Winfrey, this happens to be a black lady. One of the richest women in the world. And she was in a store one time at a shelf, and somebody thought she worked there. I don't know how she was dressed. I don't know how she was acting. I don't know if she was going to the back of the shelf to get the newest product there like we all do. I don't know what it is, but somebody, a white guy, thought that she worked there, and he asked her a question of where somebody was. Now, when you hear Oprah talk about this story, she automatically got drug out to the slave blocks where she was going to be auctioned off and beat for entertainment by the white master before they had dinner, and they sent her to the cotton fields to pick cotton till her fingers bled. That's the way basically she told the story about how much racism there was because someone just assumed she worked at a store because she was black. Well, I hate to bust everybody's bubble. You can come to Dunlap, Tennessee. You can't find a black person working in a store. So obviously that's not going to be an issue here. And it wouldn't be an issue anywhere because white people, black people, Asian people, all colors of people work at stores. And if they thought she worked at a store, it wasn't because she was black. That's the stupidest thing in the world. But see, Oprah Winfrey's context is that if her being so wealthy is in a store and a white guy just assumed that she worked there because she's black and had to work, you know, at a low grade place like a store, that it was racism. No context whatsoever. When you hear today from the gay community, and if somebody, you know, when I was young, if someone that was gay was called queer, now it's gay or homosexual or EBGTX or whatever it is this week. If someone calls someone gay today, because they have no perspective, they take it all the way to being drugged behind a truck with chains until they're dead. Which is stupid. But when people lose context, that's what happens. Context is a very interesting thing. Like when we have a trap stolen, when we're out trapping, we get pretty upset about it. Guam has got a feral dog problem. They're estimating 25,000 feral dogs, which probably means there's 50. They have four dog catchers that work for the government in Guam. This is true, by the way. The problem is they set their traps on Monday. The people of Guam go out and steal the traps on Monday so they can go use those traps to feed their kids because they can catch small pigs with them. Perspective and context is very different on that when you look at it from what is really going on there. They need food. Context. Like, what is modern child abuse? Today, it's if a mom raises her or dad raises her voice at a child. If by law today, if a kid 15 years old gets on his dad's tractor, unless Trump has rescinded that from Obama, you can't have your kid get on a tractor and pull a hay wagon because it's child abuse, child labor laws. See, there's no context whatsoever at all during that. Because it goes back to the days where rural people were brought into cities because that's where the money was, and the kids worked just like the adults, and there wasn't any type of safety features, and people were losing arms and legs and getting cut and killed and all this, and kids were right there with them working 18 hours a day, making more money than probably making a week, and they would all year farming back then, but no one ever takes that into context. So we have these child labor laws, and because we have no perspective today, a kid going out to help feed the horses or get on a tractor, it would be illegal because we have no perspective. Because children shouldn't have to work, right? You know, kids just don't do that very much anymore. Now, there's a lot of kids of you that are listening, with your kids probably do, because you understand how important it is. You understand that it builds character to be in a hay field, itching to death with all the chaff, sweating to death, just wanting the last hay bale to show up so you can go take a shower, get some food, drink a bunch of water, stop and get a Gatorade, something. But it builds character. But that's not the way. If a government agency saw a family doing that, I guarantee you there would be problems, because that would be considered child abuse. No perspective. The same perspective of not looking at building character is you build soft children that are weak, don't know how to work, and then everybody wonders why they don't want to work. See, perspective is one of these things I think it needs to be thought about all the time, and not in a knee-jerk reaction, not in the first level of peeling of an onion. And you need to get down the middle of that thing, and it takes some time, and it takes some thinking about it. When we today talk about political abuse, are we looking at that in any type of proper context or perspective? I'll let you decide that one on your own. But when all of the you know, Berkeley and all those little limp-wristed wannabe girly boys are dressed in all black and are about the size of some type of crazy-looking old-school cartoon where they look malnourished, and they start swinging at people because they have a different opinion than them, and they consider that political abuse to have to listen to another person's ideas that don't exactly agree with theirs, that's political abuse. See, without perspective, spoiled little kids, I guess that's what they're going to come up with. Because they're also not taught to be critical thinkers and to have any type of perspective or context. Political abuse, the simplest way is think about medieval times with serfs and kings and queens, lord of the manor. Which, if you really look at what that word means, it means he was the grain holder. That's what gave him the power. He had land given to him normally by the church or another king, and you rented that out through taxes to serfs, because unless you had this special blood that was ordained by God, or your parents were already in this class, you couldn't own land. But you had to live somewhere, so you go groveling to a king somewhere to get a little bitty patch of ground that you can work yourself to death with, and he comes, takes it, most of it, away. So the best you can hope for is just to die poor. That's the best. That's the best you could hope for. And if you ever did anything against that king or prince or lord of the manor that he didn't like, he would throw you off of his property, and you had pretty much been ostracized to the point you're probably going to starve to death. See, that's really political abuse in perspective, I think. Anyway, I mean, it's just crazy. So when we, and one more example just to think about. When we get all upset in a traffic jam, and you see people screaming and hollering and road rage, think about the lack of perspective that really has on somebody. See, I love the way that Thailand looks at road rage. You might get sent to an insane asylum because something's wrong with you. You never hear anybody hollering in public because either shows a mental defect culturally, or if it's not that, then you're just a really low-class person and no one wants to hang out with you. But here, the person that screams the loudest normally gets their way. But next time you're in a traffic jam and you get upset, and I've done this too, if it's really as bad as you think it is at the time, let's find a way to put that in perspective. Take the keys out of the car, get out of the car, close the door, and walk to where you need to go. Could be 3 states away, could be 6 miles away, could be 100 yards away. When you really put that in perspective, a traffic jam is not something to really get upset about. At least I don't think it is. Road rage because someone's going 5 miles an hour over the speed limit and you want to go 15 miles an hour over the speed limit is crazy when you stop and think about it. But see, without the lack of perspective, all makes perfect sense to be a raging lunatic on the road. So I guess the reason I'm bringing this up, guys, is put stuff in perspective and try to figure out a real world context whenever you're dealing with anything. Anything. This goes with your family. This goes with how you view the government. Is it in the, see, like to me, stuff's really simple because I look at everything through the prism of personal liberty and volunteerism and property rights and non-aggression. If you go through those four principles, it's pretty easy for me to come up with something because I'm looking at the context of what that flag stands for, which is the lack of government where I live. So when you're looking at anything in your life, do yourself a favor and start thinking at it in the terms of a proper context and a proper perspective. One thing you'll notice, your blood pressure will go down. You'll be a happier person because you're not going to get caught up and be manipulated and all the crazy stuff that most people spend all their time being upset about today. And you can actually start getting stuff done, which people that don't have perspective, don't understand context, they really don't get a lot done because they're wasting their time always on stuff that really doesn't matter. That's why I'm bringing this subject up. Same thing when you're going out and you're trapping, guys. Things aren't going exactly the way that you dream they would because they never do. Put that in perspective of, are you healthy? It's still legal to trap here, thank goodness. For most of us anyway. Different things like that. That's where the perspective and context comes into play. But the biggest one is, you don't waste your time all the time being drug into all kind of stuff. Like Black Lives Matter. Think of all of the treasure and the energy and everything that went into such a dishonest organization. See, I can say that because I'm looking at it through context and perspective. That organization is a Marxist, according to their own words and their own manifesto, organization. But because people don't put stuff in perspective, they go to marches, they're burning down buildings, they're saying it's okay to shoot cops, they're doing all of this. All this energy is involved in something that if they would take a little bit of context and perspective and go, you know, the guy was trying to kill the cop, and the color of their skin was pretty irrelevant, and the cop shot him. Well, who cares if one was white and one was black? We needed him out of the gene pool. We don't want people like that in our culture. See, with perspective, you can go, and then all of a sudden people are trying to rile you up to go to, you know, a Black Lives Matter place. You can go, no, 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 no. See, and that's the end of it. Now you can actually go do something that matters. Actually do something that'll help your family, help your neighbor. Spend more time out in the woods. Something more productive than taking something out of perspective and burning all that energy for nothing. Just my thoughts anyway, from someone that probably spends too much time in the wood and definitely too much time in a lure shop. So it's just something I was thinking about, and I thought I'd share it with you. Y'all have a good week, guys.